Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And it's your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM. Omaha, Nebraska's favorite, first, only, and dare I say, best urban gospel radio station in the states of Nebraska and Iowa. And we are so proud and humbled and honored to be able to do this work of ministry with and for each one of you, the listeners. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you telling people about 100.3 FM. We appreciate you telling them about the app. Just go to Gospel Music Omaha on your favorite app store, and that's either Android or iPhone, of course. Type in the words Gospel Music Omaha. You can get the app right on your phone. Or if you prefer to listen on the internet, just go to our gospelmusicomaha.com website, and there's a big button there to listen to the radio. Everything you hear on FM also is transmitted on the internet, so plenty of places to find the radio station, pardon me. Of course, this show is Mind His Business, so all of our social media handles are at Mind His Business. So find us wherever you consume social content, whether that's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter/X, etc., etc., etc. You can find us there at Mind His Business. So how's your week this week, Love Love?
It's going great, everybody. How's everybody doing? Bless y'all today and every day. And we're so happy to be back again, okay?
Right.
One more time.
So if you're listening to this years and years in the future, we just had an election, a presidential election, that just happened not too long ago. And so there was a lot of social engineering that was happening here going up into the election. And there's going to be a lot more social engineering before this is all over with. And the reason why I say that is because believers are not to be deceived about what is coming and what is happening. And you say, well, can you get more specific, Lady J? Yes, I can. So much of the way our feelings are and the way our emotions are governed by these algorithms, by when we're scrolling on social media and we're taking in information that's coming in through our eye gate, what we're seeing and reading. It's coming in through our ear gate, what we're hearing and how we're processing what it is we're hearing. It's coming in through the repetition, which is a form of enchantment. So social media actually performs a form or a version of enchantment. And notice the word enchantment has the word chant inside of it, chant. So when you're doing a chant is something that gets repeated over and over and over again in order to put one's mind state a certain kind of way. So social media has a lot to do with how we become enchanted with things, because we see certain messages repeated over and over, and then the algorithms, what they do on social media is they promote certain messages of enchantment and they demote other messages of enchantment in order to manipulate the people, and that's what's called social engineering. So while we're consuming social media, we're also being subjected to social engineering. And so there's a lot of that going on, and you can see the evidence of how successful this enchantment is, or this social engineering is, by the reactions of the folks that we see on social media. If your candidate didn't win, you can see lots of messaging of people being very emotional. For example, if your candidate did win, you can see a lot of gloating, perhaps. I could use that word, gloating, you know, being happy that, quote, my team won. And this is happening on both sides. Now, you know, if you followed this show for any length of time, you know that we are politically independent. The only candidate that we care about is Jesus Christ, and that's the one that we're trying to push each and every day.
King Jesus, baby, all the way. You know, because that's what that hype is all about. You know, I don't believe that personally that Christians really should take place in voting, especially And that's just me. Now, I know a lot of you are going to vote regardless, and I'm not telling you whether to vote or not to vote. I'm just saying that I believe that it's the same thing when Jesus said, hey, I want to be your king. Remember that? No, we want a what?
Yes, that's true.
No, we want a king. We want, no, I'm King
that's
Jesus.
True.
I will be your king. No, we want to be governed. We want to be this. And he said, well, he's going to tax you. He's going to this, he's going to that. And they said, no, they said they still wanted a king. Only king I want is King Jesus. And that's the end of that.
Well, the national elections have already happened. So we,
presidents are selected, not elected. I believe they select who they want to get in there. I believe they're all related. They're all related. If you look through the history of all of the presidents, all of them, every single one of them are related.
Well, that's true. What I was getting at, though, is that I won't say that I disagree that at the national level, so much of that is scripted and controlled that is very difficult to know one way or another whether or not your individual vote really is contributing to the outcome. And I'm saying that politely. But on the local level, I think being involved in local community, being involved with things that you express your opinion through the vote for things that are local, I do believe there is value in that. But yeah, I'm with you. The president, they're not going to leave the choice of who's going to be the leader of the proverbial free world up to the hands of low information voters on both sides who are easily socially engineered and enchanted by algorithms. So I'm with you. I'm with you on that on the national level. So much of voting is all about consent. When you cast your vote, it's as though you are giving your consent for things. And so, yeah, that definitely would be an interesting discussion. I'm thinking more along the lines of, in general, as believers, we must be mindful how much the algorithms are truly operating in enchantment to try to manipulate the minds and the philosophies and the behaviors of people. And why would this be such an important thing? Well, the reason why is because the scripture tells us that everything is driving toward an end goal. Satan has an end goal, and that end goal is to set up this one world system that's under a single world leader, a single world economy, and a single world religion. And so he's using the media, the social media, both your heroes and your villains, to advance this ultimate agenda. It's funny to me how, for example, before the election, there was a lot of rhetoric that was going around that certain candidates were Hitler, certain candidates were communists, on both sides there was this whole, if you vote this way, you're voting in Hitler, and if you vote this way, you're voting in a communist. But then as soon as the election was over, it was like they all went to dinner, like all the candidates went to dinner together, they're calling each other on the phone, and it's back to business as usual. And that should tell us as believers
they have an agenda.
That so much of this, if you really thought that this person was Hitler incarnate, you probably wouldn't be taking dinner with him if you're in the legislature or the Congress or the Supreme Court or whatever have you. So you just kind of have to be smarter than the algorithms, I guess what I'm saying. You have to use your spiritual discernment and your critical thinking skills to say that no matter who's in office, the government always wins. The government is going to exist to preserve itself. So regardless who is in the national offices, the government is always going to preserve its own self-preservation, if I could say it that way. There's literally a, what do they call it, continuity of government. They have a whole plan for continuity of government, meaning even if there were a disaster, even if there were a collapse, they already have a plan for how to keep the government in place. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't necessarily have a plan to keep you and me alive and fed and safe and warm and healthy, but they have definitely very strong plans already in place for continuity of government. That means that this systematic national government is going to preserve itself regardless of who's in office. So
correct. And you do have to add in that there are a lot of people that are being activated, mm-hmm. if I could use the word activated, that are being awakened to plan an attack on us. People in here in the U.S., and they, when they get activated, they have one thing they want to do, and if you don't do what they say do, it's going to be off with your head.
Mm.
See, it goes deeper. There are so many levels that it goes. So a lot of the stuff is desensitized. They're keeping people on weed, and look, they don't want to do anything. They, you know, they're just like in a daze, you know. Vote? Did you say vote? You know, they just say, am I telling the truth or not? You can tell me if I'm messing up or not.
No, I don't think you're messing up. So, I think there's a little more nuance to it than how you're describing it. But I do think that all of those things are adding up together to take the broad path people down the broad path.
Yeah, because this, if you see everything that's happening, if you look at how they're pushing the agenda of having people move in with them that are not even citizens and things of that nature. And yes, I said it, not even a legal citizen. Am I hitting too close to comfort? You know, you're going to take in this particular family or this. Wait a minute, this is my house. I paid for it. I'm only one payment away from paying for my house. And you want me to take in who? And if I don't, you on what? You don't know who these people are. You don't know anything about their backgrounds. Usually any place you go, don't they do background checks? But you're not doing a background check on these folks. You see what I'm saying? And it's very, very sad. And some of these folks have been in place for years already, just waiting for their time or this year to move in for the, excuse the expression, to down you. You know what I mean? The K-I-L-L. They just moving in for the K-I-L-L.
So I want to go back to something that I mentioned earlier, and that is, if I'm going to vote for the president, I'm going to vote for Jesus to be president, right?
King Jesus.
Because the only Yahushua. King or person that I want to have ultimate authority over my life is Christ. And I serve Christ above culture. I serve Christ above national borders. I serve Christ above my race, my ethnicity. I serve Christ above all. And Christ wants us to always have our allegiance to him first, more so than politics, more so than social media, more so than any other idol. There's a reason why the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments was serve the Lord with all your heart and don't have any other gods before
your soul,
him.
Your mind and your strength.
There's a reason that's the first commandment, because if you don't have that one first, then everything that comes after it is a lot easier to compromise in the other nine of the Ten Commandments if you don't follow the first one.
Correct.
So I wanted to bring up that passage that you mentioned about Israel wanting a king, because I think that would be an interesting passage to look at here as we're kind of talking about this a little bit. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 8. So 1 Samuel chapter 8 is where we are. And so it says, starting in verse 1, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel." So Samuel was a prophet. A prophet is someone who is directly receiving information or instruction from the Lord and then dispensing it to the people. This was how one of the ways that God communicated with his people prior to Christ coming on the scene. And a lot of the prophets gave and delivered prophecies about the Messiah that was to come. And so all of those prophecies that are in Scripture ultimately were pointing toward Christ. But prior to Christ's arrival, God did a lot of speaking to his people through prophets. Mm-hmm. Samuel was one of those prophets. Now, that word prophet is not P-R-O-F-I-T, like profiting money. Mm-hmm. It's P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about something different. Even though the words sound similar, a prophet is someone that wasn't getting money for delivering this information from God. Now, there are a lot of modern day so-called prophets, P PROPHET, but they really are PROFIT. If anyone ever tells you that you have to give them money in order for them to pronounce a word over you, a word of prophecy, or a word from the Lord, but you got to put $50 in the bucket.
Tell them to get out of your face, okay? Get out of my face.
That person is...
Practice it. Get out of my face.
With that particular behavior, that prophet is a PROFIT, and he is behaving as a wolf amongst sheep. So you should never have to pay money to get a word from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Never, never, never. So if you encounter someone that is kind of mixing the money and the message together, you know that's not from God, because a true prophet is not doing it to gain income for himself. And there are plenty of scripture verses and passages that talk about that. One that comes to mind is a person named Gehazi, and maybe we'll talk about that another time. But let's go back here to Samuel, where we are in 1 Samuel 8. So after it came to pass, when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. So here we have the prophet of God. He has children, he has sons, he probably has daughters too, but in the Old Testament, they focus more on the sons because the lineage comes through
the fathers.
Okay, so he has his sons, and they are set as judges over Israel. As a side note, did you know there were also female judges?
Correct.
One of the most famous ones in scripture, her name was Deborah.
Yes.
So for people that tell you that women don't have the same status of ministry as men, that would be a falsehood. I can show you female judges. I can show you female prophets, female pastors, female teachers, female evangelists, and female pastors in the scripture. So for those that say that, you know, women can't lead and women can't do this and can't do that, there are examples of all the fivefold ministries, mm-hmm. as well as judges, mm-hmm. As well as even queens in the scriptures. So it is not true that women do not have the capability to hear from God and disseminate that truth to the people.
And that all we're good for is just baby-making machines. You're only good for sex and babies. That's it. That's not it. That's not all. No.
So coming back to the passage, he made his sons judges over Israel. The reason why they had judges, and this would be a good deeper study to go into, is it falls back even to the time of Moses. So when Moses was leading the people after they had come out of Egypt, they were having disputes among themselves, just like you and I and you know, some of our neighbors and friends and coworkers. Sometimes you have disputes and you need someone to help
conflict resolution.
Judge between that conflict. And so many people were going to Moses saying, you know, what's your decision on this issue or that issue, that Moses set judges over the people to help mediate those various conflicts. So when you fast forward here to 1 Samuel chapter 8, that's what's happening here. Samuel, he was the prophet, and he set his sons in place in that role of judges to be the conflict mediators or resolvers over Israel, the nation of Israel. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. That word lucre, L-U-C-R-E, is money.
It's
greed.
Filthy lucre.
Okay. So they weren't in it for God like Samuel was. They were in it for the money. So it says the sons did not walk in his ways, but they turned aside after lucre. They took bribes and they perverted judgments. In other words, they were corrupt judges. Have you ever seen a corrupt judge?
Yes.
They always got corrupt judges on TV. But when you encounter corrupt judges in real life, it's exceptionally disappointing because you're really hoping that your judges are going to be fair, unbiased, impartial. But these sons, they was all about the money. And so they could be compromised by money. So they took bribes, they were greedy, and they were corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 4, Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and they came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, you're old, and your sons aren't walking in your ways. So now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. So all the other nations that were around them had a king.
Mm-hmm.
Israel did not have a king because God was their king.
Everything.
God was their ruler.
Yes.
God was the one that led them, guided them. So they didn't need a king. They just needed to hear from God. And that's what the prophets were there for, was to hear from God. So They didn't need a king, but because Samuel's sons were messing up everything with unrighteous judgment, these elders came together and said, look, your sons, they're messing everything up. Maybe it'll be better if we put a king over us to set some law and order over us rather than these unrighteous children of yours.
Yeah.
So this is how it went down. In verse 6, it said, but this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, which was the right thing to do. Is your first thing when you have a big decision is to go and consult God about it.
Yes.
In verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say unto you. For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, the Lord, that I should not reign over them. In other words, I've been king over Israel. Have I not protected them, provided for them, brought them through to the promised land? Because this was after they made it to the promised land. I've helped vanquish all of your enemies. I have made sure that you have everything you need. The fact that you now want to have some lesser person to rule over you, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. And how many times do we do that? God is saying, I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm right here able to help you to bear fruit and to grow and mature. But you think you need to put somebody in between you and me in order to tell you what to do, tell you how to live,
making them the mediator between God and man.
Exactly.
When that's King Jesus. That's
exactly.
Not supposed to be anybody else.
And unfortunately, some of our pastors and some of our churches take on a role that is a lot like what these elders were asking for in Israel. These pastors say that their word goes and they're speaking as the Lord, and you can't go against your pastor, and you better not speak out against your pastor, and your pastor is always right, and you're supposed to go to your pastor and consult your pastor for every little thing. That's not the role of a pastor. And the pastor should not have that much power and sway over the people, because then he's in danger of being in this same position that Israel found themselves in here.
Right.
So he says in 1 Samuel 8:7, for they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, the Lord, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and they have served other gods. So do they also unto you. In other words, they didn't listen to me, and they're not listening to you either. That's what God is saying to Samuel. They didn't listen to me, and they're not listening to you either, because they're being led away by their own idolatry, and they want to forsake God. So now, therefore, go ahead, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly to them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. So stating that in pure English, he's saying, go ahead, let them have a king. But you just let them know.
You
let them know what they're going to get.
You ask for
if they ask for a king,
you tell them what
they're going to get.
Yep, you
this
got
is
it.
What you, this is what you're going to get.
You want it, you got it.
And so in verse 10, Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, he will appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run in front of his chariots. In other words, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to set up a draft. He's going to put everybody in the military. He's going to take your kids and he's going to put them on the front line of battle. Isn't that what we see right now? How we have Americans being sent off to foreign wars? And they're spilling American blood in foreign lands because somebody in Congress decided that there's oil or opium fields or whatever it is that they're looking for.
Can't we just solve this by having the people who are the kings or queens have them fight it out? Why make everybody else die?
You know, I have.
I'm just asking, okay? I know that sounds weird, but you know, why don't we take you because you're over this country. You're over this country. Y'all two fight. That'll make them get in the gym, and you know.
Now I have a very awesome military family. I got a lot of military members, very mm-hmm. high ranking military members in my family. Mm-hmm. So I've always had a high level of patriotism, if you will. My father was in the military, and so I appreciate when it is that people feel like it is necessary and important thing to protect and preserve our country and our Constitution. So having said that, I do not like that folks are being sent off to fight and die for wars that don't have anything to do specifically to a direct threat to our nation. That does bother me a lot. And I wish there could be the case where every person in Congress, the Senate, the House, the legislature, all of them, anybody that wants to sign a bill saying go to war, that their children should have to be first. Like, no one should be able in Congress to sign a bill saying go to war without their own children being in that mix, because I think that they would think a little more carefully before just jumping to say go to war mm-hmm. when you have your own children on the line. Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel about it. I'm not pro-war, anti-war. Know, what yeah. I am is that
I wasn't happy when my sons went to, when my son was going to go to military. Nope, I wasn't happy either.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when your kids are, if those of you out there have kids, so you know how you go to, I don't know, McDonald's or Burger King, wherever it is your kids want to go, you know, Chick-fil-A, wherever it is they want to go. And when it's mom and dad spending the money, you notice how they always want to buy the biggest thing on the menu. I want the triple whopper with the large fry, with the large drink, and I want the shake. If the shake machine is actually working today, I want the shake. I want all of that. But then watch your kid get their first job, and they get their first little $200 paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. And y'all decide y'all about to go out to Burger King, McDonald's, whatever. And now it's their turn to actually pay for their own meal. All of a sudden it's, well, what's on the dollar menu? What's on the value menu? Mm-hmm. I just only want to, boy, I don't want to give up this paycheck.
I'm a grown woman and I'll be eating kid meals, okay?
I don't know if I want to spend, what a triple Whopper is $14.79, what? You know, it's different when it's your own money, right? Mm-mm. And it's the same thing with these military decisions. It's different when it's your own family on mm-hmm. the line. Mm-hmm. You think a little more carefully before you just signing bills to go and fight wars when it's your own family that's going to have to participate. Right. And I think that's part of the problem is that it's very easy to say, yeah, let's go to war if you don't have any skin in the game, mm-hmm. if you are not personally going to be affected by it. So I've always had the opinion that if Congress is going to sign a bill to go to war, that their children should also have to be drafted in that war that they're signing about. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. But mm-hmm. anyway, so back to the scripture. Mm-hmm. So Samuel is telling them, if you ask him for a king, to basically demote yourself to be like these other nations, rather than just following and serving me like you've been doing, this is what's going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen in 1 Samuel 8, verse 11, is that the first thing he's going to do is he's going to take your kids and he's going to make them fight in the military. In verse 12, he says, and he will appoint him, this is the king, will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and mm-hmm. instruments of his chariots. So now what they're going to be doing is they're going to be fighting in the war, and they're going to be building war machines, instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots, which a chariot in modern day would be your tanks, your Humvees, your transport vehicles, your bomber planes, your Navy aircraft carriers, all of that stuff. And he's saying he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over 50. So that means that it's not going to be just a few. It's going to be thousands of people that are going to be conscripted into military service, and they're going to have to reap his harvest. In other words, they're going to have to do what he says to do and fight wherever he says to fight. even if they personally don't have any ought against the person they got their weapons trained against. Yeah. And he says in verse 13, and he will take your daughters. Mm. So now he talked about what's going to happen to the men. Now he's talking about what's going to happen to the daughters. So he said, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. In other words, they're going to be working to serve his needs, cooks, bakers, mm-hmm. confectionaries. Confectionaries is like perfumes and so all the things that are not instruments of war. So the men are going to be making things to advance the war machine. The women are going to be also working equally as hard for the things that are non-war related. Confectionaries, cooks, bakers. And he says, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. In other words, he's going to control all the land. He's going to take all the land. Right now, we live in a country where, with the exception of just a couple few states and a couple few homestead exemptions, even if you pay off your mortgage and you have the deed to your house, did you know that if you do not pay property taxes on that house, that the government
can come in and take
your house from you, even though it's paid off? Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you put a king over you. That's what happened to them, and he was telling them, he's going to take your land. Right now, if you have some land, if you don't pay property taxes on that land,
that's why you got to save at the first of the year.
They're going to take it.
Save it all throughout the whole, you know, throughout the whole year to pay it.
And to me, that seems terribly unfair that you could work for 30 years, pay off your mortgage. You got the title to your house.
Well, that's what mortgage is. Mort means to the death.
But if you don't pay that $1,200 or however much it is in property taxes, they will put a lien against your property and they mm-hmm. will sell it off at auction if you don't resolve your tax issue. That seems awfully terrible, but that's what government does. That's what Samuel was telling them. This is what's going to happen. Is both your men and your women are going to have to go to work, just like how it is now. Both the father and the mother is out there in the workplace right now. The kids is being raised by babysitters, Netflix, and the school. And that's where we're at. So he says, he's going to take your fields, your vineyards, your olive yards, and give them to his servants. So the government is going to control it. And he will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. The tenth would be the equivalent of taxes. So he's going to tax you on it. Just what I was talking about. So you're going to have property taxes. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants, that's your male and your female, and your best young men and your donkeys. Now the word here is asses, an ass is a donkey. Right. So, you know, Bible ain't cussing. So he said he's going to take your donkeys, your men servants, your maid servants, your best young men, and put them to his work. So a lot of people right now are working for the government right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Y'all still look the same from 20 years ago. Thank you in the comments there. Hi.
Yeah, that's just colored, right?
Hello to you.
That's just colored.
Okay, so back to this. So he's going to take taxes off of everything you do. That's what this is saying here. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And we are slaves to the government, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Right now, when you work, every paycheck you get, doesn't the government get their cut first? Mm-hmm. And then if you make too much money, don't they tell you you got to pay some taxes at the end? Mm-mm-mm. Yes, you do. And so he says, and you will cry out in that day because of your king, which you will have chosen. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. So he said, you want a king? You're going to get one, but you're going to make
it's
it hard for
like
yourself.
Taking the whole role.
Nevertheless, in verse 19, 1 Samuel 8, 19, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Ooh. And they said, no or nay, but we will have a king over us that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Mm-hmm. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, well, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go every man unto his city. And so then it continues on from there. But I just want to point out to you that the government is designed to preserve itself. and to lord control over the people in the government. Mm-hmm. And as much as we like to throw around words like democracy and we like to throw those sort of words around, at the end of the day, the government is going to be just like what it has here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, that once you have a governing structure, especially on a government that's managing over 300 million people, there is a lot of control that comes with that. And those of us who are believers, we have to understand that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So, yes, we do participate in the system as far as we live here. And there are some things that we don't have control over. And we have to trust the Lord to sift out the difference. You know, something as simple as when you, the moment that you're born, and they put you in their database when they do the little prick on your heel, and they take a blood sample and a DNA sample when you're a baby. Then they issue you a birth certificate.
Because your name is in all capital letters.
And they issue you a social security number in all caps, which essentially makes you a member of the stock exchange. And that's a much deeper topic.
Yeah.
And then you are subjected to various injections that you as a young child don't have the capability to consent to one way or the other. And then you go to school and you have all of these things that are placed around you control-wise to control what you learn, how you learn it, at what pace you learn it, and what the measurements are by which they will decide whether or not you can go from grade to grade. And so all of these things are in place that we do not have control over directly. But as believers in Christ, it is important that we, especially for our children, but even for ourselves, understand that we are, our mindset should be in another kingdom. That kingdom is the kingdom of God, where he is rule, reign, and he rules and reigns over our hearts. And if we ever encounter a scenario where the government or the secular world is demanding that we do something that is directly in opposition to his word, that we must choose God over
King Jesus, over everything else.
And each person is going to have their own line where they make that line. So that's not a one size fits all. But each person will have to make those decisions. And as these days continue on, regardless of who's in the national offices, all of us will eventually be faced with those choices for how we want to govern our lives. Do we want to govern our lives by the word of God as our guiding light and guiding principles? Do we want to follow the direction and the discernment of the Holy Spirit as he grows us in the faith and helps us to mature and bear fruit? Or do we want to be enchanted by the media and social media and the algorithms and scrolling? Notice that the word is scrolling. What is a scroll? A scroll is
like
a
this,
long piece of paper that
like
you
this.
That you open out that has decrees on it. For example, if it were a scroll from the king, for example, it would have the decrees from the king of what the king's agenda is.
It would go.
So if you have a scroll, an ancient scroll had usually a seal on it. Mm-hmm. It was a wax seal, and the king would take his ring and he would place
Signia.
The ring into the wax and put an imprint in wax. Mm-hmm. So that scroll would be sealed by the king's insignia
or ring.
To indicate that this, whatever the words are contained in this scroll, are directly the agenda and the mindset of the king. So whenever you sign up for a social media service, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, first thing you do when you download that app on your phone,
you
TikTok, Snapchat, all of that, what do you have to do? You have
agree
to check
to
that little
terms.
Box to the terms of service, which is essentially the insignia of the rulers of that network, of that platform. And then when you're on there, what do? You scroll. You scroll, you're scrolling, and you're constantly being influenced by the algorithms that are being governed by the company that owns the platform. So their algorithms are pushing us this way or that way to get us a little more anti-Christian, to get us a little more sinful, to get us a little more interested in pornography, to get us a little bit more interested in whatever their agenda is.
They right up in your face with it. They ain't doing a little. They doing the whole role.
And,
they doing it.
And there's a reason why they call social media influencers influencers. Because as you're scrolling, you're reading the scroll, you have people, some of whom aren't even real people, they're actually AI people, that are influencing your philosophy, your mindset, your ways of thinking, and ultimately your behavior. They're influencing through the scrolls, through the scrolling
just
of
like,
social media
just
while
like
you're
on
being...
YouTube. Yeah, how do they know what to recommend to you? Think about it like that. How do they know what you like, if I can use that word, what you like or what you're interested in or what it thinks that you're interested in? It's building a profile on you. And that profile is making sure that it's got your number. Yeah.
And it's I bring up an interesting story that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. So I was thinking about something specific. I said nothing out loud to anyone. I did not use my voice, my words. I said nothing to anyone. I simply thought about something. And the next day, it was recommended for me to follow a a social media profile that was exactly what I had thought about the day before. Now, mind you, I didn't say anything to anybody. We all know at this point that our phones hear everything we're saying. And if you think about it, they have to, because whenever you say, hey, Siri, or you say, hey, Google, or you say, hey, Alexa, well, that device has to be listening all the time in order to pick up on when you say that particular combination of words. So it has to listen to 100% of what you say in order to know when you say, when do you say those words? Hey, Siri, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, hey, whatever you're saying. So we already know that our phones are listening. And all of us have had that happen where we've had a conversation with somebody and maybe we were talking about, I don't know, dog treats or something. And then the very next day you're on Facebook and you see an ad for dog treats, right? All of that all of us have experienced that by now.
It's analyzing. It's analyzing you.
But that's analyzing words. But this was different.
In your brain, in your mind.
I had not said anything to anyone. It was a thought in my own mind. And sure enough, the next day, the platform that it happened on was Twitter, but it has also happened to me on Facebook. Something exactly relevant to what I was simply thinking about was there.
Suggestion.
So that tells me there are many different theories of why that could have been the case. Number one, the algorithms could now, with AI, be so sophisticated that it literally can predict what I might think about, just like the movie Minority Report. You remember that movie Tom Cruise?
Yes.
How they had a concept of something called pre-crime, where they would arrest you before you did the crime because their analysis...
Do this in such and such time.
Because their analysis was so deep and comprehensive that they could determine, based upon what you looked at, what you discussed online, all of those things, it could determine what... It could predict what it thought you would be doing. I think that either, number one, the algorithms are so advanced and sophisticated that it can mimic what looks like mind reading, because it knows the algorithms are nothing but big data.
Right.
But every time we turn on our phones, or even when we don't turn on our phones, the algorithm is collecting data points that it then puts together to predict what we might be interested in seeing next. And those algorithms may be so far advanced that it can somewhat predict what it thinks that we're going to think about or want to buy or want to do in the future. So that's one thing that could be happening. Another thing that could be happening is with all of the various frequencies that are running around, there's something called EMF waves or electromagnetic frequencies. called EMFs for short. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, every electronic device you and I have is emitting a electronic frequency. Yes? Everything we have, your phone is emitting frequencies, your television, your Wi-Fi router, your Bluetooth devices, your laptop, every single device, your microwave, your refrigerator, everything that is electric is exhibiting various frequencies and waves, as well as, and here's the kicker, our bodies and our brains.
Because our bodies are electric.
Our bodies and our brains also emit electrical impulses and waves, and they have done lots of studies where they've studied brain waves, and certain parts of your brain light up electronically when you have certain thoughts, whether it's emotional or whether it's logical, or different types of thoughts light up different parts of your brain. Different parts of your brain light up when you're accessing memories. And interestingly enough, they've even done studies that when a person is praying in the Holy Spirit, there is a certain part of the brain that lights up that doesn't.
And it cannot be accessed.
It only lights up when you're praying in the Spirit, or you're praying to the Lord. That's the only time that particular part of your brain lights up.
And when you're speaking in tongues, don't forget that.
So
it cannot access, it can't.
So with Elon Musk and other companies that are doing these whole brain interfaces and things like that, it's not that hard for me to conceive that possibly and plausibly that the Wi-Fi signals that are coming out of our routers and our phones and our headphones and our Bluetooth devices, et cetera, that those things might not just only be transmitting, but they might also be receiving our brain waves in return.
Information.
And somehow interpreting those various electrical impulses in our brain into things that it can analyze. And maybe that might be a reason why something that I purely just only thought about showed up on a social media feed. The third thing that could be a plausible reason why that happened is there are, and this would be a little bit more controversial, so I have to kind of temper what I say just a little bit. There are certain things that are being sprayed in our atmosphere from airplanes, and all of us...
Chemtrails.
You said it, I didn't. All of us have looked up in the sky from time to time, and we see clouds that don't look like
them
clouds.
White lines going across, back and forth.
There are lots of theories of what these particular cloud trails have contained within them. And without getting into too much detail, some have suggested that there may be nanoparticles that are in these particular things that are being sprayed in the skies. And they're called nanoparticles, or they're called something called smart dust. And so for those of you that like to kind of go down the rabbit hole and do deeper research.
Or you might not have ever heard of smart dust. It does exist.
So that will be a fun search for you if you like to do intense research. So it could very well be a case where smart dust is being... we pick it up on our skin, we pick it up when we breathe it in, and these are nanoparticles, which means they're so small that the human eye cannot see them. But if enough of those are in our bodies, it could create somewhat of a bioelectrical transmission of sorts that could transmit information to our various devices, and then that could then be interpreted by big data to suggest things. So I have no idea.
Well, and also, too, if you take the jab, it can be seen underneath lights. Have y'all been noticing that at the different stoplights and different things like that, that it's emitting a certain type of light?
Like those purple LEDs when you're coming from Council Bluffs to Omaha?
Have you been seeing those? That is the reason. That's the reason why those are there.
So, we've talked many times about the SM-102 that is in the various injections that were delivered to everyone in the world back in 2020. And they have something inside of there. That SM-102 is called luciferase, or pronounced differently.
Luciferase.
Luciferase or luciferous. And what it is it's a quantum dot technology that is adapted from a luminescent sea creature.
Correct.
It's a blue crab. It's a blue crab. And it is a quantum dot that lights up under certain lighting conditions.
Correct.
Well, this is also a form of nanotechnology, and it's possible that those nanotechnology elements could be also transmitting as well as receiving information, not to mention there may be some other things that are more, I'll say theoretical, because I don't have enough research to know one way or the other, but things like graphene oxide and ferrofluid fluid and things like that. But not to get too far off the track, but to come back onto the track, I think most of us are not aware of how much we are being influenced by the enchantment of social media. And I think that it is important to guard our minds and guard our hearts. as the scripture says that we're supposed to guard with all diligence. Let me pull that scripture up here real quick. Let me scroll. Let me pull that up. Guard with all diligence.
And when we say guard, you know, it might be forced on you, or to say if you don't, then you'll lose your job and do things of that nature. I think at this point in time, if you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think you just shouldn't have worked the first, second, third, fourth, fifth time, if you think about it like that.
So, yeah. So my interest is, regardless of whether or not we're being exposed to toxic electromagnetic frequencies, or whether we are being toxified by nanotechnology in whatever form, smart dust or quantum dots or whatever, it's important that we guard our minds and our hearts with all diligence. And that verse of scripture that I'm quoting from is Proverbs chapter 4.
Do people even pray over their food anymore, Jackie? I know I do. A lot of times you have to pray over your food because you don't know what it is. And I mean that. You don't know what it is. You have to pray over your food.
So this verse.
You have to pray over your water, things that you drink, and all that. Because things don't seem to be real anymore, Jackie. Remember when I showed you what I thought was chicken? This ain't chicken. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this is.
So starting in verse 20, we're heading toward verse 23 here. Mm-hmm. This is Proverbs 4. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes." That means you should be focusing on what God wants you to focus on. Focus on. "Let them not depart from your eyes." So much of social media is we're scrolling, and we're just consuming things with our eyes. You know, on TikTok, you scroll, and then the next video immediately pops up, and you see that, and then the next one immediately pops up, and your eyes are seeing that. Mm-hmm. But he says, "Let not the words of God depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Mm-hmm. "Keep your heart with all diligence." That means protect it, preserve it, for out of it, out of your heart,
comes the issues of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So everything that comes out of your life, your philosophy, your compassion, your adaptability, your willingness to love those who are, to care for those who are vulnerable, and not to be hard-hearted or cruel or to take advantage of people, to keep your heart soft. Yeah. All of these things of your heart, you must guard your eyes. Notice how he said guard your eyes first, and then he said guard your heart. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is guard what's coming in through your eyes.
What goes in through the eye gate.
Because what's coming in your eyes is eventually going to influence what's in your heart. Right. And out of your heart flow the issues of life. So
it's just like if you're watching porn. Yeah. Am I telling it? It's just like if you're watching that, it's guide. You have to really, really harness and really say, you know what? I could look at this porn, but I'm not going to. Or you might be addicted to it, but am I? You understand what I'm saying? when it says to guard, because those things that go in through the eye gate can sometimes, or a lot of times, affect the inward part of you, which is your heart, which is the part that people cannot see. They cannot, they don't know the intentions and the motives behind what you see and what you do and why you see it and why you're seeing it and why you're doing it. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm not saying don't be on social media at all. Although for some of you, if it is a particular issue, it's stealing hours and hours from your day, it's causing you to be depressed, maybe you're a young person and you're getting cyberbullied, there could be many reasons to take a temporary fast from social media, or maybe even take a longer break. If it's if it's influencing your mind and your thoughts and your behaviors away from the things of God and having you focus more on worldly things or things that are unhealthy, then it would be a good idea then to ask the Holy Spirit to redirect your eyes and your heart. I'm not saying that all social media is bad. It's like any other tool. You can, the same tool that can be used to slice a loaf of bread is the same tool that could be used to murder a person, okay? A knife is just a tool. How you use it is going to have a large influence on what the result is that you get. And we know that bad communication corrupts good morals. And I think I'll probably end with that that scripture verse that I just quoted right there. Bad company does corrupt good morals. And what that means is that if you are constantly having a diet, whatever your diet is, you are what you eat. If your diet that's coming in your eyes and in your ears is constantly negative, 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 well, eventually, at some point, your output is going to match your input, right? Or said another way, you can only hang out in the barbershop for so long, but then eventually you're going to get a haircut. If you keep hanging out in the barbershop long enough, eventually you're going to get a haircut. If you constantly are feeding your eyes and your ears and your heart things that are enchanting you to influence your mindset away from Christ, then those things, you should, just like any other thing in your life, you should take an inventory of whether or not this is leading you closer to the Lord or farther away from the Lord.
Like people are reading their horoscopes. You know what I'm talking about, Jackie? You're inviting things into your heart when you're reading horoscopes. Oh, I wonder what I'm supposed to do today, or I wonder what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. Those things are literally, they're demonic. You're letting in things that are going to control you, and you don't want to be, well, let me see. I mean, that's like listening to a false prophet. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. That's what it is. When you're getting on there, oh, it says that I'm supposed to do this today. I'm supposed to do that today. And you know what? There's a lot of people that they live their lives literally by whatever their horoscope tells them. That's witchcraft. Why don't you seek King Jesus? He'll tell you. He'll show you. Why not ask him for wisdom, knowledge, strength? Why not believe him when he says, hey, I don't want you to do that because of this, and you know better. You know better than to do that. It's not that you ain't had no home training. You know what you're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to do, is be about our Father's business and stop playing games and stop acting like we don't know. You know, if you don't, what happens is something we call exposure. And exposure is simply where you get caught. It's where you get caught, because a lot of people don't and won't stop until they get caught. This is D-Day. This is Reckoning Day. This is the day of exposure. If this P. Nasty, I mean, what's his name? P. Diddler, Diddy? If this is reckoning time, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, and it's not of King Jesus, it's going to be exposed. It really is. Repent. Give your heart to him. It's so simple. It's so simple to ask King Jesus into your heart. Do you know he hears you? What if you were in a coma? Think about it like that. What if you were in a coma? What if you could not, what if you were paralyzed? What if you could not talk? He hears you when you pray, and he knows when you are sincere, and he will change your life. Oh, and you people out there talking about you got to be baptized. No, there is a thief on the cross was not baptized, was he, Jackie? He was not baptized. He died. He didn't he? And King Jesus said, there you will be with me in paradise. So to tell someone that they cannot serve King Jesus and that they cannot be saved until they get baptized, that is not of the Lord. That's not of Jesus. It's not. That's very demonic. He will do the sifting. He will do the sifting out of everything. I know when I cook, and y'all know that I cook. When I cook certain things, I want my ingredients to be right. So I'll sift the flour. I'll sift it. Even though it has, you know, self-rising flour, even though I have self-rising flour, I want my pound cakes to be just so. So I will still sift it. And Jackie, have you had my pound cake before?
I have indeed.
Can you attest to tell the truth about it?
I can indeed.
Okay. So that's what you have to do. You have to sift out those things in your life that are not. And then those things, you take them and you throw them away. And it's the same thing with diluting. You know, a lot of preachers and pastors, they dilute the word. Mm-mm. We don't dilute it. We don't, you know, I've been noticing even with liquor and things like that. You ever heard of people diluting it down? They'll serve, you know, their worst liquor. Okay. They'll serve their worst liquor and they'll save the other for last, you know, things of that nature. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all want to act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah. You can say, oh, I've got this this Hennessy. I've got this. What's some of the good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be 100 proof. I think they call it 100 proof.
I don't know all
different
that.
Things like that. And they'll dilute it down is what they'll do. Don't dilute King Jesus down in your life. Have the full potency of what he is really wanting to bring up and out of you. And that's what I wanted to say.
All right. So yeah.
Don't know who it was for, but.
Well, just to wrap up here what we were saying, the verse that I wanted to quote here to kind of bring it full circle here at the end is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33.
Okay.
Be not deceived.
God is not mocked.
Actually, let me.
That one or which one?
Nope, not that one. He says, starting in verse 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is me if the dead don't rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Okay, that's where I wanted to start. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He's saying, if there is no point to Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and soon return, then let's just eat and drink for tomorrow we die, because it doesn't matter. And that's what most of social media does, is it feeds this hedonistic mindset that says just do whatever you want. And then you got all kind of fringe folks that have all these weird and quirky things about them.
Do what thou will.
Doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Just feeding the flesh and feeding the pleasures of life. But it says here, be not deceived in verse 33. Evil communications or evil companionship corrupts good manners.
Good
in
morals.
Other words, bad company corrupts good character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the word communications there in the King James is homilia, which stands for companionship, communication, intercourse. That doesn't mean sex, but it means interacting with.
Intimacy.
When we are interacting with social media and we're liking posts and we're commenting on posts and we're engaging with those influencers in the scroll That's a form of communication or a form of companionship. There's a psychological term for it that's called parapsychology, which means it's a one-way relationship where the person is creating the video online and you're responding to that person, but that person is not necessarily talking to you individually. They're talking to the camera and whoever happens to see it, but then you then are building relationship with that social influencer, and so then you're engaging with their content, you're engaging with that communication. And right here it's saying, be not deceived, evil communications or evil companionships corrupts good manners or good morals or good character. So be careful who you're following on social media. And the most important thing is, even if you're looking at nothing but just puppy videos and kitten videos and dancing challenges, and maybe that's all you're looking at on social media, how much time and attention are you giving to that? Could you maybe divert some of the time and attention you're giving to the kitten videos into learning something
time
about the word?
Time of prayer.
Learning something, knowledge that can advance your purpose or your future. Maybe learning a new language. Like, there are many things that you can use this social media tool for. And if you know that it's going to be influencing your mindset, at least be more mindful of how your mindset is being directed, and choose better to devote at least some of that time and attention towards something that can build you, empower you, rather than just be a distraction or a time stealer. We got lots of comments on social media. I didn't take time to read a lot of them tonight. What's up, fam? I see the comment you put on there. I think that was a quote about something that I talked about way back earlier.
What's it? Go ahead and read it.
Let's
it's
see.
Okay.
Have a
we
lot
love, we love
of
reading it.
Know that man was evil. He ain't running a thing but his mouth. I think she's talking about the I think she's talking about the president. That's possible.
Don't you love it when, first of all, this is a woman that's well seasoned. She's in her 80s. Okay.
Keep in mind,
I love this because they don't sugarcoat nothing. They just hit it to the point. I love that.
Keep in mind that whoever is the figurehead of the nation, meaning the president, they are not pulling as many strings as it might appear. They are the face of the nation, but the actual decisions that are being made is a combination of corporations. It's a combination of international agencies. There's a lot more behind the scenes. And yes, you may have this person or that person that is the figurehead of the country by being the president or in the role of the president. But the actual power and decision making that is happening, it happens in the shadows. It happens behind the scenes. It happens with the lobbyists and the three-letter organizations and the international organizations like the UN, the WHO, the WEF. There are the IMF. There are, which is the International Monetary Fund.
If you don't know who they are, you can always rewind this back and look them up.
So there are lots and lots of layers of people that are the true influencers of how the nation goes. And that agenda is set tens, if not hundreds of years in advance. So don't worry so much if the person that you voted for didn't get into office, because at the end of the day, the government is going to do what the government does, for one. That's what we talked about in 1 Samuel 8. But number two, there are larger forces at play that we as Christians, those are the forces we should be more aware of. The ecumenical movement that is trying to dilute Christianity and to demote it down to be like all of the other religious systems. When true Christ followers, it has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. And we'll save that for another time, because we're actually over time now. But just know that this week, try to pay attention to what you're looking at on cable and on social media and on the news, and just try to detach yourself from
it. Try a media fast.
That's one way. Mm-hmm. But let me complete this thought here. I want you to try to step outside of yourself and look at it not as though you're looking at it, but as though you are outside of yourself, and ask the question, what is the message they're trying to get me to accept or believe with this piece of content? What is the agenda, or how is it that they're wanting me to think? Let me give you an example. Have you ever watched the news, and have you ever noticed how differently they report a black criminal perpetrator versus a white criminal perpetrator? Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
How they'll say, let's say it's a 17-year-old perpetrator. Now, we know that they're not supposed to say the names if it's a minor that committed a crime. So they're kind of even about that. But when they say, if it's a white perpetrator, they'll say he's a child, a 17-year-old boy or whatever. And oftentimes, if it's a black 17-year-old, they'll say a 17-year-old man or male. And if I am stepping outside of myself, just watching from outside mm-hmm. of myself to say, what are they trying to communicate to
mm-hmm.
me? I might get the idea that they want to make African-American criminals seem more ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make Caucasian criminals seem more sympathetic.
Mm.
Not always, but I think you kind of get the gist of what it is that I'm trying to convey here. It's not just how they influence the viewpoints about blacks versus whites, etc., in the media, but it's everything. Look at how much they're trying to influence us against Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, they constantly, like, there was a whole TV show that came out a few years ago called Black Jesus. A very blasphemous show, very sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm.
Not funny at all, in my opinion, because they're talking about my Savior. But can you imagine if they did a Black Muhammad TV show?
Ooh.
Where they made fun of Muhammad, or a Black Elijah Muhammad, or a Black Farrakhan show?
They'd be putting you in the guillotine off with your head. Yes,
right?
They will. That's what they're going
to
be doing.
You notice how it always seems to be this where it's okay to make fun of the Christians. It's okay to be down on the Christians. It's okay to make religious people look crazy or weird or out of touch. You notice it's always something anti-Christian, even in Tyler Perry shows. Well, I'm watching a show right now. I probably shouldn't be watching it. But they have a character in the show that's very religious, and I'm not going to make any spoilers about the show, but I notice how this character is very religious, yet this character is also dropping just as much profanity as all the other characters. This character is just as snaky as the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped outside of myself to say, what messages are they trying to communicate to me by the way they're describing these characters? And I say, they're trying to make the Christian people out to look just as evil as the non-Christians.
Right.
And so what that says to me is that we must be very mindful of what we're consuming through our eyes and through our ears. And we should not just passively scroll. Just passively go to the next one and the next one and the next post and the next post. We should not just casually do that without thinking about, or at least
it's a time
being
waster.
The guardian of what's coming in. At least be aware of what it is and not just passively accept everything that we see and allow it to influence us without at least thinking a little more deeply about what messages they're trying to communicate.
Have you ever been on social media and you start scrolling, and all of a sudden you look up, and it's 3 hours later?
Yeah, I've done that.
Or 2 hours later?
Plenty of times.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Maybe put yourself on a timer. Oh,
yeah.
That's 15 minutes. Get off. Or that's a half an hour. Gotta go. Oh, that's an hour. I'm done.
They have apps that can track how much time you spend on your various apps, and you can set it to either ding or notify you or shut the app off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If if you meet the threshold that you have set. Mm-hmm. And self-discipline, you know, that's hard for all of us, but it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Yes.
And so if we allow social media to control us, then we are not in self-control. We are in world system control if we're allowing those platforms to steal and suck away all of our time, all of our attention, and it's not helping us to get toward our goals. So use the tool wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Use the tool with your mind alert and sober as you're taking things in, and perhaps prune away the things that are the least useful to your walk as a believer. That'd
because
be my encouragement.
Because it's gathering information about you. It's gathering information about you, about your family, about your habits, about how you spend money, and things of that nature. I had gotten on TikTok. Can you believe it? I was in TikTok years and years and years ago, and I decided to get back on TikTok, flip-flop. And because that's what it does. That's what I see. And I normally don't post anything, but I was definitely like, I need to say something. And I did. And I had to figure out how to even use it all over again. Do you know, it took me about almost an hour and a half just to figure out how to use it and to see what they... I just, like I said, it's flip-flop. I feel like I was getting hit on the head with a flip-flop because I didn't know. All of this stuff is just so much stuff. So much advertising. Buy this, buy that. Hey, you have this many, you know, this. Then I was seeing all types of lights, and I was just like, oh, overload.
That's by design.
Yeah.
They want you to get so much data. It says in the book of Daniel that in the last days, knowledge shall increase, and people are going to be running to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That's exactly the state that we're in right now, is knowledge has increased so much that it is more than we can actually consume in any given time, and that's designed on purpose to give you burnout, give you brain burnout, so that you just give up critical thinking and you say, I just need someone to just tell me what to think, because there's too many competing ideas that's coming at me constantly. And that is the last thing you should do. Bible says, by way of closing, that we should be sober-minded and vigilant. That means to always keep our minds on guard. And if it's too much information, or you get on social media and you come off depressed, or you get on social media and you get off angry, your adrenaline's up, your blood pressure's up, that's when it's time to take a break. Leave it alone for a little while. And I guarantee you, when you come back to it, it's going to be the same stuff it was when you stopped.
Yeah, that's addiction.
I got off of, I think, Facebook for like 2 months, and I came back to it, and I was like, this looks exactly the same as it did 2 months ago when I was looking at it. Ain't nothing changed. It's the same over and over and over again. Believe me, you're not going to miss out. You're not going to miss nothing if you don't read every single post that comes your way.
I've seen people in their homes not communicating and talking. But be on their phone.
I ain't gonna lie, I did that once.
I don't believe in that.
And you were in the other room. You were in the other room one day.
I don't believe that.
And I texted you from the other room.
And I said, I'm right here. Where are you?
Oh, I did that one day. We was in the same building. And I texted you instead of just walking over. And I said, oh, man. Look, it's getting me too. Oh, my gosh. So,
I just encourage you. People can't play games and all kinds of stuff. I just don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be addicted. And that's the reason why I could do without a phone.
You can do without
it. And I don't even. And I have an iPhone. Okay. I have an iPhone. Yeah. What else? I have a regular. What do you call that other phone? I don't even know these phones. I just know that they're regular, you know, high-end phones. That's all I know. And I really don't care.
Just as believers, do what you can to live in the real world with real people, with face-to-face and heart-to-heart and hand-to-hand communication with real people. And remember, the digital world is just that. It's digital. It's not reality. Reality is those that you actually can see, hear, feel, taste, touch, right in the real world. Don't lose sight of the real world. Don't get so invested in the digital realm that you miss out on the actual real life that's going around. You know, mm-hmm. touch some grass, go to the park, go out to
eat. Yeah, but make
sure
the grass is not, a lot of people are putting fertilizers and all kinds of stuff to make their grass grow, but try to find some real grass. You know, hug a tree. I know that sounds weird. No, I'm serious. A lot of people believe, you know.
Well, there is such a thing as grounding. We were talking about electrical.
Yes, I did.
We were talking about electrical frequencies.
Yeah.
And all living things do have a certain amount of bioelectricity. So when people say hug a tree, it sounds goofy. But there is something to bioelectricity that maybe we could get into in a deep dive. Maybe we'll do. Maybe we'll do something like that in the future.
Blessings to you, Sister Carol.
But
I
see somebody sending love our way, and
I
think that's probably a good enough place to stop for today. So, bless you this week.
Yes.
Be mindful of what you're consuming on social media.
And if you came in late, well, I see you, Sister Carol. If you guys came in late and didn't hear everything, please take it back, put it on faster speed, and just listen to what we had to say. It's very, very resourceful and very useful.
All right, everybody. So for this week, I'm Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Ciao.